your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter was dealing in chapter 2 with responsibilities, duties of God's people to authority, community, then he started in chapter 3, and I'm actually going to be looking at verse 4, and I've entitled this message, Dealing with Every Problem. Whatever comes the way of a believer, dealing with every problem. Now, I need to hear something about this, because we all have problems. And the admonition that the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Peter to give to wives with unbelieving husbands. My heart was moved with that admonition on him telling wives how to do it, how to handle the situation. Moved me to write out this message. Because the admonition that Peter gave believing wives, or vice versa, it go either way, is an admonition that we all need to hear on dealing with things that come our way. He said, likewise. Now, he started off chapter 3, likewise. Likewise, just as there's authority over us in the home, the husband is the head of the house. Believers, unbelievers, that's the husband is the head of the wife. So Peter said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the walk, the manner of life of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, if I'm going to say this about the home, and then I'm going to go into the message that the Lord's laid on my heart about dealing with all problems. But He has given the wives in this particular passage some wise counsel. If you have an unbelieving spouse, this is the admonition that the Spirit of God moved upon Peter to write. Be a witness before them in your walk. Walk before them in a way that is honoring to the Lord, that adorns the gospel that you believe. I'm going to tell you right now, religious nagging and that don't work. That don't work. Don't do that. Don't argue. Don't just walk before them. Peter is saying with that adorning, that's not that outward adorning. Fixing your hair, putting your makeup on, putting nice jewelry on. Not that. There's nothing wrong with that done in a chaste, modest way. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not, he said, Verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. All this other stuff is going to go away. But not this. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, I want us to look at that admonition of that meek and quiet spirit. I wrote an article and put it in the bulletin this morning about when Abraham, and it just, my mind just went in this, Abraham and Lot, they had problems. You can read the article. And what Abraham did was exactly what the Spirit of God moved upon Peter to write in dealing with the problem. And it doesn't matter how or what form it takes. That's not the issue. The Scripture declares that in this world, God's people, according to John 16:33, our Lord speaking, He said, in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I want us to consider the Holy Spirit's admonition to God's people. And this book is written to God's people. This is for us. This is for our instruction, admonition, correction, instruction in righteousness. We need to hear this. I need to hear it. You need to hear it. How do I deal with problems? In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, I want us to consider this admonition of dealing with situations with a meek and quiet spirit. I want us to consider first, where does the trials come from? Well, now, was it just bad luck? I just all of a sudden just had a bad misfortune. Or does a believer know that it came from the Lord? Now, whatever comes our way, doesn't the Scripture bear out that we've obtained an inheritance being predestinated? It's determined beforehand. According to the purpose of Him who worketh or works out all things after the counsel of His own will. So, where did the trial come from? Where did the problem come from? Where did that chastisement come from? You know where it came from. We all know this. We just need to be reminded of it. The Lord Himself is the one that rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. So the Lord sent it. So I said, well, I thought the devil sent it. The Lord may use the devil as the means, like in the case of Job, but God is ruling and reigning in this world. He rules in heaven and earth. So we know this. And does He not send all these things our way for our good and His glory, according to His will and purpose? How many times have we read this passage of Scripture? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things. Well, I don't know why I'm having to go through that. Well, I may not know either. But that's not the issue. Obviously, we needed it. All things work together for good. What does that mean? For our advantage. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the shape. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what is going on. Now listen to me. This is for me and for you. All of us. We need to remember whatever is our lot right now, whatever our lot is. Who sent it? The Lord sent it. Why did He send it? He sent it for His glory and our good. And we realize that there's no possibility that whatever He has ordained we're going to escape. There's no possibility. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. It will. So, believer, let's settle something in our hearts that is so. When it comes to the Lord's good pleasure to send what He's pleased to send, whatever it is, He is too wise to err. He's too gracious, merciful to withhold anything from us that'll be for our good. He's not going to withhold it. The Scripture says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure." So when it comes to our problems, the Lord has sent it. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Maybe not. But the Lord sent it. Secondly, what do we do? Tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him of the burden. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, going back to point one, did He send it? Yes. Does He love His people with an everlasting love? Yes. Jeremiah 31:3 declares that. So, does He send these things that we might cast ourselves upon Him? Yes. Well, cry unto Him, because the trial was sent that we might call upon Him, that we might cast our care upon Him. He is the city of refuge. He is the only shelter. He is that place of rest. Does He know how to cause us to call upon Him? Yes, we do. Yes, He does. And will we do it? Yes, we will. All God's people are going to do it. So, He sent it. Tell Him. He's the one that's casting all your burden upon Him. He cares for you. And then thirdly, trust that He will not leave you to yourself. The Scripture says He has magnified His Word above all His name. He's magnified His Word above all His name. And the Word of Jehovah? Who is that? But the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He has magnified His Word above all His name. And what has His Word said? The Lord Jesus, what has He said? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm so thankful that that promise is not based upon my ability to believe it or to maintain it or something. He said, I won't leave you even when I doubt. He said, I won't do it. So, with these truths in mind, He sent it. Cast yourself upon Him. Trust that He's not going to leave you. Knowing these troubles and trials are the lot of God's people. The Scripture says, Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. How are we to deal with these times of trouble? What does the Scripture say? Well, here I am in 1 Peter 3:4. With a meek and quiet spirit. I got to thinking about this, and I'm just going to make just a few points on this, and this won't be long. Number one, what is a meek and quiet spirit? What is it? Well, it is that spirit which, by the grace of God, it's that spirit of the Lord, by His grace, that's given, that is settled to the things that the Lord, by His good pleasure and will, sins to the objects of his affection. There is a spirit that is given. When the Spirit of God comes and gives us a new heart, he gives us a new spirit. And until a sinner is regenerated by the grace of God, they don't have it. That spirit of that new man that bears patiently and doesn't fly into anger against the Lord and against his good providence. It's that meek and quiet spirit that doesn't answer again or call into question his will, his counsel. It's a spirit that doesn't take, even in the heart, and has harsh words against him. That old man, that carnal man, it's not subject to the things of God. Let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to blame God. It's going to question God. And who knows best? So what is a meek and quiet spirit? Well, it's a spirit that's given to a vessel of God's mercy from the Lord. And who only possesses? That's my second question. A quiet spirit, a meek and quiet spirit. Only those that the Lord has everlastingly loved and chosen in Christ. There's nothing lovely or pleasing found in the carnal heart. There's nothing there. It's enmity against God. The carnal heart is enmity, and it's not subject, as I said, to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the Spirit of God imparts an ornament that Peter spoke of, an ornament of that meek and quiet spirit. And it's that spirit that manifests the fruit of God's Spirit. Here's a meek and quiet spirit that we didn't possess being born in Adam the first time. When we were born, we didn't have this. Here's the fruit of God's Spirit. It's love. God is love. And what we called love before, till we knew Him, we didn't know love. We knew lust, we knew, you know, but not love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. There's meekness, submission. That's what meekness is, submission. Before, there was nothing but the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, physical or moral, lasciviousness. That which is contrary to modesty. Lasciviousness. Just that which is contrary to modesty. Idolatry. Idol worship. Idol. Man that's born in Adam, he worships idols. Somebody says, I don't worship idols. Yes, we do. Idols of our mind, idols that we create in our heart, idols. That witchcraft, sorcery, hatred, that is hostility and resentment. Variance, what is that? Quarreling, debate, strife, emulations. This is what we were born with. Ill-proportioned zeal, wrath, which is fierce passion, strife, which is contention, seditions, which is divisions, heresies, which is parties of separation, envyings, which is resentment against another's success, murders, actual or character, drunkenness, intoxication, revelings, loose carousing, and such like. So, this, what is a meek and quiet spirit, it's the grace of God. It's that new spirit, new man who possesses it, God's people. Thirdly, where does a meek and quiet spirit come from? Well, there's only one fountain. There's only one place. The Scripture says, John 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, there's There's no good gift, and only God is good. Every good gift cometh down from heaven. So the Scripture declares that what we've received from the Lord, that is good. And it's this gift. He's given us something. He's given us... The Scripture declares concerning the gifts that God gives are without repentance. That means He doesn't take them back. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. So whenever we receive anything from the Lord, it's by the grace of God. It's a gift. It's been given a meek and quiet spirit. So when we receive a salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith, that salvation, it's the Lord. The Father has been pleased to give us of His Son, that He's given us to Him and Him to us, so that gift, every good and perfect gift, it cometh down from the Father of lights. Did He not come down? Did He not humble Himself? So Christ is God's gift to His people. What a gift. And with Him, there's no shadow, there's no shade of appearance of change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And having Him as ours is the Father's gift to us. And having Him, we have all. And having given us His Son, look at this, Psalm 84:11. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord, at all caps, Jehovah, will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Where does a meek and quiet spirit come from? It comes from glory. It comes from heaven. He who has given us His Son has given us all. And how, fourthly, is this meek and quiet spirit received? Well, I've touched on this about three different times now, and I'll go ahead and read the point now that I wrote down. It's by the impartation of a new heart. No one possesses a meek and quiet spirit except those have been regenerated by the grace of God. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Believers are made to be partakers of the divine nature. Scripture says, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. And this spirit that is a meek and quiet spirit flows from God Himself to His people, and it always has and comes with then a heart of thankfulness toward the Lord for giving us what He's done for us. That meek and quiet spirit that when trials come, and they will. What do I do? Do I fret and worry? I've got an old man that'll do that. Don't worry. But when these trials come, what's that new man? That new man that sinneth not. And again, I'll guarantee you there's a battle that's going on. It's hard. Dick, it's hard to go through what you're going through right now. It's tough. But I'm telling you, there's two men and a believer. And one of them said, I can't believe I'm going through this. What did I do to deserve this? And there's a new man that says, Lord, you do all things well. If he slays me, Job said, I'm going to trust him. If he puts me in the grave, he's God and he's right. And that which I've received of the Lord is the best for me. That spirit just doesn't come from birth, being born in Adam. It does not. That meek, and again, remember, meekness means submission. It means it submits. It submits. And quiet means it doesn't argue. It doesn't doubt. That meek and quiet spirit. Here's my last point. How important is that spirit? How important it? Well, the latter part of this fourth verse says, which is in the sight of God of great price. Great price. What did it cost? It cost the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it cost. For me to possess that precious gift, for Almighty God to give me that spirit of meekness and quietness, that spirit that manifests God's will and purpose and love to an undeserving sinner. It's that spirit that the Scripture declares to be in God's sight costly. That privilege to possess that spirit, that couldn't be gotten by silver and gold. But again, it was purchased. Purchased. Bought. Paid for. And in the sight of Almighty God, it's of great price because it's a precious gift. It's a precious spirit. God's spirit. That spirit that is of God and is God. And we by faith rest in that truth. That having and possessing a heart that bows before Him. And buddy, how we struggle with it. I don't know about you, but I wonder at times, have I ever truly found myself submitting as I ought? I doubt everything I do. But in the sight of God to be able to rest in the truth that the Lord has given us the earnest of His Spirit and that we've been sealed by Him to the day of redemption. So we come to this conclusion. Trials are going to come our way. They're coming. The Lord's promised them. Those that He loves, He chastens. If you be without chastisement, without correction, if it just, you know, it's because you're not His. The Lord said that. But if the Lord has been pleased to send us through, and let me tell you what a believer will do right now. When he hears this, he's going to say to himself, Lord, forgive me for the way I've argued, doubted, I haven't trusted. But in hearing that message that declares that there is a meek and quiet spirit. That there is a meek and quiet spirit given. You know what a believer will say? I want that. I want that. I want to walk before Him in submission. I want to walk before Him as His servant. I want that. I don't want to argue with Him. I don't want to doubt Him. I want Him to teach me of myself. I want Him to teach me of Him. And I want to be found faithful. I want that. And I want it for His glory and my good. Amen. All right. Let's just